Blog Talk Radio.
Show. I am your darling and dashing host, Push the Zada. And we have a very interesting show today. My producer, Leslie, just emailed me earlier the link of information about our next guest, and it kind of threw me for a loop. I wasn't expecting to have the president of a skating association, because we're so used to doing historical shows. But I think once you hear a story, then you'll find it interesting nonetheless, and particularly the way in which he connects it to the whole historical dialogue, and one that we'll be joining in a matter of minutes. But anyway, her name is Tasha Klusman. She's the president of Our Family Skate Association, a Washington, D.C.-based nonprofit organization dedicated to empowering and uplifting the community through roller skating events and projects and programs alike. Our Family Skating Association, some of their activities are designed to foster lifelong fitness habits and encourage an interest in recreational and competitive aspects of roller skating. And their goal is to facilitate healthy, enjoyable, low-cost, multi-generational venues where elders are treasured and youth are nurtured and families are embraced. So, she's there now. She can hear me.
Hello?
Tasha, are you there?
I am.
Wow, you're scaring me, man. Okay. You know, I have no backup, right? unless I like to tell some of my stand-up comedy, and I don't think people want to hear that. You kind of scared me.
Well, I'm not trying to scare you. I am here. I guess it's that technology thing, you know?
Yeah, you know what I think happened? Tasha and I were talking, I don't know, for at least 30 minutes, the length of a show, and I told you you were going to get tired, because I'm like, we better stop talking now and just take this over to the show, right? But anyway, tell us a little bit about the Our Family Skate Association, what you're doing, which you're the president of. It's out of D.C. It's a nonprofit organization. Did you hear me say all of that good stuff?
I did. I was going to say you did cover it. I mean, I grew up skating, and I had the opportunity to not just do it recreationally, but to do some performance skating on a professional level. And I was also exposed to figures. So I knew early on that roller skating was much more than a lot of people knew. I mean, people just think you go for birthday parties or it's a kid kind of sport. So I was exposed in a way that was different. And I wanted to make sure that other people in my community had the opportunity to do it. Again, I was exposed to figures and dance, which looks very much like ice skating, but on roller skates, but it was very, very expensive. And so it wasn't something that I could pursue, but I knew that, you know, again, we all watch the Olympics and we want to skate like that or look like that. And again, to be able to do it on roller skates was something that I didn't think a lot of people in my community knew about. And so I started out trying to make sure that people, young people, had the opportunity to do what I had done. People in my community had the opportunity to do what I had done and even more. And in the process of doing that, I, you know, had the opportunity to talk to older people, and they started telling us stories about, you know, what they kind of roller skating they were doing. They were coming up and different things. And so we started really get a sense that there was a history to this thing. And because when we were out connecting and trying to convince people that roller skating was really good for the community, people were kind of like, oh, really? Roller skating? You know, we wanted to take those stories and use them to back up, you know, our claims, you know, not just because they were good for us, because they had been good for generations. And that grew from really capturing Washington history to capturing national history. And what we found is that we have figure skated, dance skated. We have roller derbied. We have done rink ownership. And as far back as even the 1920s, you know, we're finding out that we own rinks and put on shows. I mean, roller skating has always been a part of the, you know, vaudeville and the Chitlin circuit. I mean, you probably, we think about like Gene Kelly doing that tap dance and on the movies, but he really accredits a lot of that to, you know, Bojangle Robinson and those black dancers and hoofers of the day. So again, roller skating was very much a part of their coming up and their experience, and we have just found all over the country black communities talk about the significance of roller skating, you know, street skating.
Wow.
Or
well, so that, yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, because again, we were talking earlier, and I was trying to figure out the connection to the whole historical thing. And so, what you guys are generally doing is you're collecting all of this historical information on, is it just African American skating, or just skating in general, the whole American skating sport in general?
I think you end up doing both. I mean, first of all, roller skating is an American invention. I mean, a lot of people don't know that ice skates came first. I mean, I look at skating, period. Ice skating is the beginning. Then you actually have inlines first.
Mm-hmm.
And then the roller skate, where you have two wheels in the front and two wheels in the back. And that roller skate is an American invention. And, you know, 1863, you have the American roller skate come on the scene. And the total purpose of it was for being able to do things really gracefully, lots of spins, lots of turns, which they found they couldn't do on the inline version. And so we have a base of the roller skating history, which is there. And like a lot of history in America, well, they'll say, well, this is American history, or this is a complete roller skating history, but they leave out a lot. I mean, it ends up being the history of the person telling its perspective. And so, fortunately or unfortunately, we're focused on our community's story, but it definitely is very much in line with the history itself. You know what I'm saying? And we participated along the way like we always do, and quite often we're, you know, the innovators of things too. So it's a combination of the whole story and in particular infusing our story in there, you know?
Yeah, well, I can understand that. It's definitely hard to for anyone to think about us, even skating in general, without thinking about African Americans and how we have come to any sport and bring that creative edge. You know, like basketball, it's the stylized way in which we dunk, even dunk a ball, right? So I can understand how you know, the African American presence in the whole American skating reality is just as significant. But one thing you mentioned earlier while we were talking, you talked about health and how it's not just, I mean, generally when we think of skating, we do think of not necessarily kids, children, young kids, but we think, you know, a certain age range, anywhere from, I don't know, 5 to, say, 25, maybe 30. But earlier today, you mentioned there are older people as old as 50 or 60 or whatever, and it's a very health-conscious thing to consider if you're thinking about skating, because, you know, keep down the stress levels, and you mentioned even people with back problems are on the rinks and they're skating, and so it's a very health-conscious thing to be involved in too as well, right?
Absolutely. And again, we found that people don't think about that aspect of it. I mean, they just roller skating is so fun that people don't think about it as being exercise, which is one of the best things about it. You get your exercise while you're having a great time, but it is a lifetime sport. I mean, you can take a child when they start walking good, you know, 2-3, put them on the skates, and you can definitely skate into your 70s and 80s. And yes, I've had people who've had, you know, disc problems and different kind of back problems say that roller skating takes that weight off of their knees, their back, in such a way that they are able to get out there and skate. I mean, people who came up skating a lot of times continue their whole life. And we even have people who come to the sport, 40s, 50s. I met a woman taking a class in Atlanta, and she said her doctor said she had to exercise. She just was dreading it because she just hated the thought of doing it. But she thought, well, you know, when I was coming up, I really liked skating. And she took a class, and she said it was great. It was great because she took the class because she had a little fear of falling. The class got her, you know, out of that mode and got her confidence, and she's skating ever since. And we have a really large actual adult skate community that travels to skate, you know, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, who go around the country.
Wow.
And again, you know, they have the resources and the time to do this thing in a bigger way. I mean, actually going from city to city to adult skate parties, you know, 12 to 5. And again, it's a total different scene than most people think of, because people do think about the youth skates and family skates and that kind of thing. But a lot of people are still skating well.
What are some of the names of some of those rinks that you're talking about? I guess like maybe one would be like Empire.
Well, Empire, which has closed, we've lost a lot of rinks, and that was a historical rink that had been around for a long time. But Empire was a rink that had had a huge, huge skate community, and yes, an adult skate community. They are one of the facilities that would have a big adult turnout for events. A lot of those skaters in New York, because so many of the rinks have closed, actually do a Thursday, first Thursday of the month. Adult skate out of Branch Brook, which I think is New Jersey, not, you know, it's not in New York proper. You have a one of the biggest adult skate parties, and again, different than just rink. I'm talking about events, and this is really, you know, this is one of the things when you talk about us as a community. This is something that we brought unique to the skate industry and the skating world. You have coordinators in different parts of the country. And again, you mentioned style. We have created a whole genre of skating called style skating. And what it is that different areas, different regions, and different cities have a different style. You have Detroit style, a New York style, a JB style. You have people, again, who have a different tempo of music. They move differently to it. The dress is different. I mean, you really can see the difference if you were to go from city to city. And they have these big national events, style skate parties, I like to call them. And you get to go and you see the different styles. Well, one of the biggest events is Joy Skate-A-Thon. It's in Atlanta. It's Labor Day weekend. They celebrated 15 years this year. And you can go and it's the camaraderie, the network, but you will be there with, you know, 2,000, close to 3,000 skaters from all over the country. People have come from England. People have come from Japan. And, again, it's all about coming in, like I said, with other people who do what you do, showing them your moves, your style. And these parties, similar happen now almost, you know, every week. And the Internet really helped to connect these type of skaters all over the world. I mean, when I was skating in the 80s, you had to kind of, you know, get to town and say, hey, where are we skating? Because that's the other thing. In a lot of ways, skating still manages to be a little segregated. Now, whether you want to say it's a race thing or it's a music thing or the style of skating that you want to skate, you know, you go to a skating rink on a certain night, it may be gospel, it could be, you know, R&B soul, they could be having a disco. It just depends, and it's about the music and what you want to skate to. So, again, we would ask, but with the Internet, you know, you kind of get out there, surf it, find one of the sites, connect before you even get there.
Okay, we're going to – I think the boards are kind of lit up here. I think people want to ask questions. We're going to take a caller. Caller from area code 813, you are on. Do you have a question? 813, are you there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you.
Oh, okay. My name is Andrea, and I'm from Tampa, and I was listening to the show. I actually don't have a question, but I actually do have a comment because I also roller skate, and I'm one of the younger skaters, and I just want to say it's a really great experience. I've had the privilege of attending Joy Skate-A-Thon this year, and it was a really huge success to see a lot of young and a lot of older skaters as well there. And I think sometimes the world or people who don't think that roller skating still exists, I think it's a good idea that these people like Joy and other coordinators still put these type of events on so we can still enjoy our passion for skating.
Great, great. Well, thank you for your call. Thank you for your comment. Let's see if we can get another caller in here. Area code 678, are you there? 678, area code, are you there? Okay, let's go to another one. 804, you are on the air. Okay, you know, I want to back up for a minute, Tasha, and talk a little bit about the music. When I was growing up in the 70s, hello, are you there? Is that a caller? 804? Caller? Is anyone there? I guess not. I want to talk a little bit about the music. When I was growing up, I remember cool music. I remember skating to Fly Like an Eagle. One of the popular songs was, I think, the Roll Bounce Skate. Remember that?
Yes, absolutely.
So is there any particular music? We know what music does to the whole thing, but is there any...
Yeah,
it is right there.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, like I was saying, in some ways, I mean, there are some songs that are across the board are just kind of good skate songs. But the reality is, depending on what region of the country you're from, what city you're from, you probably have a favorite. Because, again, you want something that facilitates the kind of moves that you do. I mean, go ahead.
What do you skate to?
Well, now, I'm a D.C. girl, and I like to say I skate like three styles, and I have a couple of my favorites. But as a D.C. skater, again, from a historical perspective, everybody in the country was skating to organ music at one time. Everybody was kind of waltz skating. It didn't matter, you know, where you were, what your color was. You were skating to waltz kind of music, organ music. And as the...
Okay, but I'm sorry, let me jump in there. I was just wondering, you keep mentioning styles.
Mm-hmm.
And then you said one of you usually skate one of three styles. Can you explain what the style is?
Exactly. And again, let me keep talking about the music a little bit, because what happened was, you know, again, everybody at the rink was skating to the same kind of music, no matter where you were. So everybody was doing kind of the same movements. The music was facilitating a certain flowing, gliding kind of movement. Well, with the record industry changing in the 50s, and now people could get records, and at that time, too, you had the black music industry really coming into its own, whether it's Motown and just different kinds of music. Well, it wasn't a national thing. I mean, we didn't have the internet, and they didn't have these big national conglomerate radio stations. So you would get a certain kind of music played at a rink. This kind of, you know, in D.C., you know, go-go was kind of our local music, and you still have those kind of cliques or pockets of music. Well, with these pockets of music, those skaters in that rink in that city developed their moves and their style and their look. Well, in D.C., when we came off the organ, it was really – into the 60s, into the 70s, and the Quiet Storm hit at Howard University. So we were into this really mellow, jazzy R&B. And we had some really huge rinks in Washington, National Roller Rink, Calorama Road, and Alexandria, Virginia, which were these big America on Wheels rinks. Well, we were skating fast to the outside. And our look, the body, the flow of us was very similar to that waltz style. So I love, I mean, I just love a slow jam. I love that romantic kind of music. I'm the one who's kind of gliding around the outside singing. I mean, so it's that D.C., we have a very, very smooth style, a very elegant style.
Okay,
there.
Very intimate. Would you say intimate?
Well, you know what? People always go, we can't believe you guys skate so fast to slow music. So what I would say is, I mean, it's exhilarating. You have that. To cut the floor. I mean, it really is a very graceful but energetic and smooth style. Now, in the last 10 years or so, the styles do evolve. New music comes on the scene. New skaters come on the scene. And the good thing about style skating is that people can be innovative. They add new moves all the time. And DC has gotten to be known for the snap. And, again, it really was a very smooth movement we used to do. But in the recent times, the guys and the girls are really emphasizing it. And so now DC is known for the snap. But, again, I mentioned JB style. JB stands for James Brown. And in Chicago, there's this 30-year-old, 30-plus-year-old style that's really full of a lot of power moves. And when these guys take the floor, you know, they do some splits and jumps, and they have names, and it's very, very choreographed, and they really dress the part, and their boots look different, and their girls, I mean, their women always come out really, really dressed to the nines, you know. And they have, you know, the club names and that kind of thing. So different
right.
cities bring it different. You know,
okay.
Detroit, you know, is one of my
right.
favorite styles. And, you know, they are showmen. They come out of that Motown era. And they really, again, have a kind of a very up style, too, in the sense it's coming out of that a very polished look. But their footwork is incredible. You know, New York has a lot
okay.
of up-tempo moves, club-looking stuff. So, again, each city brings it different. And then you have a state like Ohio. Cleveland's different than Cincinnati
okay.
is different than Dayton. And it makes for a real interesting mix when you get together at the national level and you get a chance
mm-hmm.
to see them do it different, you know?
Well, speaking of the national level, how competitive is the skating? Because there's a picture on the slideshow on the website, and you look like you're in like Olympic, some kind of Olympic clothing, and like you're in some kind of Olympic contest. Are you? What's going on in that picture?
Well, I'm probably.
Or were you just looking good? Huh? You just,
well,
it's a costume.
It's probably me performing. Like I said, I had the chance to actually skate with a group called the Wheels of Fortune, and we did shows. We did a lot of openings. We did parades, and we were a group of synchronized skaters. We did couples was a big part of what we did, and we performed. And like I said, that was something different that I had the opportunity to do early on. I mean, the very first plane ride I ever took was a job we did for Coca-Cola. We did Coca-Cola's 100th birthday in Atlanta at the Dome. I think it's Atlanta Superdome. And again, for me right up front, here I had the chance to take something that was something I love to do, like skating. And it, you know, I made money, I traveled, and it was really a good thing. So again, for me right up early on, I knew that skating was more than just a recreation. It could be competitive. I mean, there is competition. You mentioned competition. I mean, roller skating, like basketball and tennis, they have competitions. They have training. Roller skating is a Special Olympic sport. Roller skating is a Pan Am game. They have roller skating competitions across the world, Spain, Africa,
okay.
Brazil. Now, those
wow.
competitions tend to be figures dance and speed and maybe slalom skating, not style. So, again,
okay.
the style skating is like hip-hop. It is this thing that we created. And right now,
okay.
it is by and large something we do together. It's not something – it's almost like a little subculture kind of a thing. And amongst us, when it comes to competition, what I would say is this. I think we always have that challenge thing going on. I mean, that's how you get better. But I think as usual with us, it tends to be a fun-loving kind of competition. I always think about that scene in the movie Taps with Gregory Hines, where they have all the old-school tap dancers, and they're going to kind of do the challenge. We're going to show you what
uh-huh.
I got. Well, sometimes when you go to the parties out in the center of the floor, you know, the guys are doing their thing, the girls are doing their thing, and it's your chance to show off. It's your chance to,
okay.
you know, to show your move,
right,
and they love to do it.
To get in there and kind of like represent your style and your city. I want to jump in here and take a caller. I think we have 202 on the line. Are you there? 202.
Hello?
Yeah, you're there? Go ahead. You have a comment?
You can hear me?
Yes. We can hear you. Do you have a comment?
Oh, I'm sorry. I did not mean to chime in. Yes, hi. My name is Nikokia. I'm actually from Washington, D.C. Thank you. I think Tasha, you all are doing a wonderful job. She's absolutely correct, and I'm excited that style skating and the sport of skating is now evolved to where we're going. Great job, you guys. Thank you for having Tasha on the show. I did not mean to actually come in. I don't know how I punched the number.
Sure, no problem. Thank you for calling. Thank you for the comment. We have another caller, 314. Are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, what's your comment?
Oh, I was just listening to you all talk over the okay. About skating, and just I was just listening. I also know that they still are coming out with like movies for skating, and I just like to see that it's still playing a part. And Mike Epps had his part on the BET Awards.
Sure.
I'm interested in everything with skating. So that's all. My name is Erica. Thank you,
Erica, for your time, and thank you for calling me. On that note, Tasha, you have done some consulting work for movies. I think there's recently a skating movie out where you did some consulting for.
Well, the movies recently that really involved style skaters, black skaters, that kind of highlighted it were ATL and Roll Bounce. And we had the chance to be on the set of Roll Bounce, in both Roll Bounce and ATL, you had some young guys out of the style skate community who had played some lead roles, who trained some people, as well as actually were the skate doubles for some of the main skaters that you saw. So again, it was an opportunity for real people to participate. A lot of times, when movies are made, it's really kind of just a fantasy background kind of a thing, as opposed to having the real people who do the real skating. So again, it was a big opportunity for real people, real skaters, to get out there and participate in some movies that were about skating. I think we in the skate community would like to see some that are much more focused on the skating and really, really tying into some historically correct kinds of things. I mean, the kind of skating that you saw in Roll Bounce, which was a Chicago story, they didn't show you Chicago skating. And Chicago skaters, kind of felt a way about that. Chicago has a powerful skate history. You have black-owned rinks that have been on there for more than 30 years. They have, two main styles. They still, at Markham Roller Rinks, they will put on the figures music, the waltz music, and those skaters will waltz skate. I mean, had the movie industry wanted to capture Chicago skating, it was there to capture, you know what I'm saying? In ATL, you did get a chance to see the Atlanta aggressive style, which is a dying style, which is something that we see, too, depending on changes in music or people coming in from other parts of the country. You can have a shift, but the Atlanta aggressive style was highlighted. They had an old school skater, Vaughn, who was kind of like got a chance to be on the set and, can influence the movie industry into making sure that was accurate. And at one point, T.I. says, man, they come from different areas and they skate different styles. So we were really happy that was added. So, again, we're hoping that more movies are made. We're hoping that more stories about our community in roller skating get a chance to be on the big screen, And, again, there are lots of people around the country making videos and that kind of thing, too.
Is that something that your association Association does? Do you look for doors and avenues to be a part of movies just to represent?
One of the big things that we're doing right now is the National African American Roller Skating Archives Project. And through that project, skaters are sharing their firsthand experiences through memorabilia, through photographs, through their personal stories. And I mention that because when people go to do movies, they are oftentimes looking for historical data. I mean, if you decide you're going to do a movie in the 50s, you want to know what it did look like, how did they dress, what was going on in a particular city. And so our collection that we're amassing is for the purpose of capturing the real story and documenting it. So with that sense, somebody who is interested in style skating, not just, have some people rolling around the rink, but again, if you were going to do a feature film in Washington, and roller skating was skating rink was the backdrop, and you pick a certain year, we would be able to help you make that correct. The look of the rink, the look of the clothing, the music that was there you mentioned. So again, one thing that I, you talked a little bit, how does roller skating tie into history? what I found out was that we have a lot of incredible stories, and we're a culture that tends to keep them orally. We share them orally. Well, we live in a world where documentation, and you know, there's the Library of Congress, which is where they keep a lot of stuff, and they have these different museums where they keep stuff. Well, where does the stuff come from? Other communities actually, you know, will their stuff to a collection or will their stuff to a repository.
Do they will them to you, to your association?
That is one of the things that we want to say to the skaters and to people around the country, people of color, really think about donating your family papers, your photographs, things that, you know, if you don't have a family historian, if you don't have a way to kind of keep that going to the next generation, leave those things to someplace like the Moreland Spingarn Research Center. Leave those things to the National African American Roller Skating Archive. A lot of times, skaters, a whole family might skate, but it might not. So if you're that one skater in your family, nobody really knows, you know, what this thing means to you, and you want to leave it to somebody who does, we do. And again, when you do that, we're able to use that to capture and document what was going on in your time at the rink. And we just recently had the opportunity to participate in a professional museum collection exhibit at the California African American Museum out in, in L.A. And the exhibit was called How We Roll. And it highlighted blacks in surfing, skateboarding, and roller skating. And again, when people walk through, you see, oh, I remember, or this is what I used to do. And again, it gives us a chance to show everybody, remind everybody, and encourage other people to participate when they see it. So our goal is to have more exhibits. Our goal is to be a repository and a source of information for movies and books and all those kind of things. So, again, we say to people that our collection is about us, but it's also by us. And we want those first-person stories from people, you know?
Okay, let me jump in here with a caller. I think I have a caller from 804 area code. Are you there, caller? Don't hang up. We're going to get to you. I don't know if they hung up by now. What about 678? Caller from area code 678. Are you there? Caller, are you there? Caller from 919 area code. Are you there? Come on, people.
Hello?
You got to hold on. You got to hang up. Are you there? Go ahead.
I'm
a comment?
Here. Hello?
Hello. You have a comment for Tasha?
Hi, my name is... Yes, hello?
We're here. We hear you.
Oh, okay. This is Stacy Artis, Ms. Roland Diva. I'm originally from Ohio, and I want to thank Ms. Tasha because of what Ms. Tasha has done with the collecting the archives. We sat down about a year or two ago, me and myself, my mother, and my 83-year-old uncle, who still roller skates today, and through sitting down and listening to both of them and talking to them, I found out that I'm a third-generation skater because my grandfather was a skater, and that's something that I never knew. But I found that out by sitting down and listening to my uncle and my mother reminisce. Even my mother didn't even know that story. So thanks to Tasha and her giving us that opportunity to sit down and, you know, relive our history and our past with roller skating. It was a wonderful thing. I'm also a national roller skating coordinator of events. Although I live in North Carolina now, I am still an Ohio skater. I'm that Cincinnati version. We're a little different from everybody else, but Tasha's done a wonderful thing in collecting archives for what we do. So thanks, Tasha.
Thank you, Stacy.
Great. Thank you for calling. Thank you for coming. We're going to close the show here. Tasha, thank you again for coming on. You definitely inspired me to get back to the rink. I haven't been on a rink in probably 5 years, man, but I'm definitely going to get back to the rink. I'm on my way back to Detroit, and I'm going to hit those rinks, baby. Thank you for joining us here on the Leslie Just Show. Tasha, thank you for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Great. And we will post your website and your information on our website. And we are out of here. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.